All right, so we've been looking at the parables for a few Fridays now. And today we're carrying on with that. I believe this is one of the last parables in Matthew that we're looking at. And today we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. And it's referred to as the parable of the net. The parable of the net. So if you've got your Bibles, open with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to 50. And I will read. I'm reading from the NIV version, or whatever version you've got. It's fine. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, we see that this is another parable from Jesus Christ, and as we've been looking through the scriptures, book by book, we see that Jesus used a lot of parables to elaborate spiritual truths. And in this instance, you know, he's doing the same thing as well, where he's using the description of fishermen going to fish, and they cast down their big nets, and after a while they pull the net back up. And when they pull the net back up, he says they separate the good fish from the bad fish. And he used that analogy. And just thinking about this, I remember there was this fishing program I watched on. I think it was, I'm quite sure if it was Discovery Channel or something. Like, you know, proper fishing. It's quite dangerous fishing, actually. And these guys would go deep, deep into the ocean. They would, you know, cast these big nets out, and they would, you know, draw them up, and they would have lobster and all those things. So this just, you know, puts that back in my mind, just looking at this. And in those days, this is something that was very familiar to the people in the time of Jesus Christ. They were mostly agrarians, farmers and all that. And there were a lot of fishermen there as well. In fact, Peter, we know, and some of the disciples were fishermen. So when Jesus used this parable, he was trying to communicate something that they did every day to elaborate spiritual truths in this instance. So they must have really understood what he meant by this, in terms of using this analogy of fishermen going out to catch fish. So that's the context of the story. Now, how does this parable relate to us now? Like I always do, we look at how it probably related to the people then. And although the truths are essentially the same, it's now, you know, how do we relate it to our current present day situation? So to do that, I'm just going to be doing a comparison here. I've got 5 points. Actually, I've got 7 points that I've written here. Looking at this parable and drawing a modern day parallel between how this fits with us now, so that we can relate to this parable and we can see how it applies to our lives as well. So the first thing we see here is this. Jesus talks about fishermen going out to fish. Now, in our context as well, as it relates to the kingdom of God. Now, when I say the kingdom of God now, or the kingdom of heaven, I'm actually in this context referring to being saved, being a believer, in the context of when I say that. So the first thing we notice here is that in this parable, Jesus says that some fishermen go out and they actually throw the net, or throw their net out to sea, so that they can catch fish. Now, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to this. Now, for us in the modern day term, we can draw the analogy or the parallel here to say that we are also fishers of men, believers. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 19 to 20, Matthew chapter 16, 19 to 20, it says, after the Lord Jesus spoke to them, he was taken up to heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20 says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming their word, his word by signs that accompanied it. So we see that in the context of the kingdom of God now, we are the fishermen that Jesus is describing here. Why? Because we're the ones that Jesus has given the commission as believers to go out and preach the gospel. So in this instance, where this parable is describing fishermen casting their net into the sea, the analogy that we can draw as it relates to us is how we as believers fulfill what Jesus has called us. Well, one of the things Jesus has asked us to do, which is to go out and to spread the good news and to preach the gospel. So that's what we see there. So we are the fishermen in this context because we go out and we're meant to preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus Christ, tell people about the good news of salvation, that Jesus has paid the price for them. Now, the second point I want to make is this. The gospel is for everyone. God doesn't discriminate. Now, why am I saying that? The Bible tells us here that when the fishermen went out to sea, they cast out their net. Now, when they cast out their net, they brought back onto their boats different kinds of fish, different kinds of catches, so to speak. Now, so what this tells us in our own context is when we go out to when we share the gospel, we should realize that God doesn't discriminate. Now, I know that, you know, a lot of us don't discriminate, so to speak, but I'm not talking about an explicit kind of discrimination, if you understand what I mean. I'm talking about something that you might not even be aware that you're doing that's internal to you. Well, I know it happens to me sometimes. And this is where maybe you want to talk to someone or you see someone coming along your path and subconsciously you've analyzed them and you're like, wow, this person is so far gone. I don't think they'll be interested in the gospel. And you might come to that conclusion, maybe because of the way they're dressed, because of their mannerisms, because some people look slightly aggressive, some people look, and you're like, look, I'm not quite sure this person is ready. Then what do? We look for people who are, in quote, not so aggressive looking, maybe people who we think are slightly gentle, and you're in your mind, and in my mind, we're looking, we're subconsciously just filtering who we should speak to or who we think might accept the gospel. And a lot of times we base it on our appearance, we base it on what we perceive to be, you know, friendliness to the gospel. But what we see here is that when these fishermen threw their net out, they just, you know, brought back everything that the net took out, the net brought in. So this is saying to us as well now that in terms of preaching the gospel, in terms of propagating the gospel, God is not discriminatory. Whether someone looks good, whether someone looks bad, whether someone is a drug addict, in fact, whether someone is even a thief, whatever it is that a person is, that should not be the basis of our preaching. We should not have those filters. So we see here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. So that's something for us to bear in mind, that the gospel does not discriminate or does not put any filters at all. The gospel is for every single person. I know that in some parts, there are some movements in various countries where they say things like, oh, the black church, or the gospel for black people, the gospel for white people, the gospel for this, the gospel for that, the gospel for whatever. All those things, and they're not in the Bible. The Bible tells us here that whether someone is black, white, green, or red, poor, rich, it doesn't matter. Everyone should get the opportunity to hear the gospel. I mean, if we look at one of the gospels as well, where there was a thief on the cross, right before, beside Christ, Christ didn't say, this chap, you're a thief. You've done so many, I'm not going to have a conversation with you. We see that in that example, Jesus was totally physically exhausted. He had been bitten, hung on the cross. I mean, experiencing excruciating pain. But when this thief reached out to Christ, despite the pain that Christ was feeling, despite the discomfort, despite the fact that Christ was there dying on the scene for the sins of men, he took time out to respond to this individual that people had condemned. So we see that we should not, should I say, filter the people that we speak the gospel to. Any opportunity that we get, we should take it. All right, so that's the second point that I'm making here. Now, the third point, I'm going through 7 points tonight regarding this parable. The third thing we see here is that Bible tells us in this parable that when the fishermen bring up the net, they separate the good from the bad. And they, you know, throw the bad away. One thing that we must realize is this. As believers, Jesus is coming to take us to heaven. And if, you know, we pass on before Jesus comes, the angels will be waiting for us to take us to heaven. So this is a reassuring thing for us that we have heaven to look forward to. I know during one of our studies, we were looking at what heaven is like, where is heaven, and all these things. This tells us as well that Jesus is going to separate the good and the bad. And when I mean the good and the bad, in this context, believers and unbelievers. And he's going to take believers away with him to be with him in heaven. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, it says, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. I believe this is talking about the rapture of the saints. But this tells us that a time is coming for us as believers where we will be with Jesus Christ. Something to always remember. Now, the fourth point that I'm going to make tonight in this parable is that we see here that it says that the fishermen, they separated the good from the bad. And it goes on further to say that they will cast all the bad into a furnace that will be burning and burning. So the fourth point we see here is that there is judgment coming at the end of this world, at the end of time. I'll read Revelations chapter 20, verses 15 to 20. Revelations chapter 20, verses 15 to 20. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So the fourth point we see here from Revelation chapter 20, verses 15 to 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Is that there is judgment at the end of everything that we're going through in this world. And it says that whether anyone, you know, agrees with what the Bible says or not, doesn't really matter, because we know that at the end of time, at the end of the age, everyone who has been born onto this earth will face God in the context of this white throne judgment. So there is judgment coming at the end. for every, well, at the end of the world. Now, the fifth point that I'm making tonight is there is just one criterion that will be there's just be one criterion for dividing the people who go to be with Jesus Christ or the people who go to this second death, this lake of fire. We see in the parable that Jesus says that when the net is pulled with all the fish and all the things that this fisherman get, that he will separate the good from the bad. Now, in the context of the world, what is the criteria that God will use to separate the good from the bad? I'm sure the fishermen in this, if you're looking at fishing in this context, the fishermen who pulled out this great catch from the sea with different types of fish, they must have had a criteria for determining which one should be good, which one should be bad. I'm not quite sure what that criteria was. Maybe they were looking for a lobster. So if you're not a lobster, you know, you got thrown out. I don't know in their context, but in our own context, there's only one criterion that will be used to determine who goes to the left and who goes to the right. And what's that criterion? Well, let me read from Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. And it says, he then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So the fifth point I'm making tonight is that the only criterion that anyone has to go through, or the only criterion that will separate the people, you know, who are going to be with Jesus and the people who are going to experience eternity in this lake of fire is just belief in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means being born again. I'm sure a lot of us are aware of that. John 3:16, which is a popular verse, says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So the criteria is not, oh, I attend church meetings regularly. That's great if anybody does that. At least it opens them to the opportunity to hear the gospel. The criteria is not, oh, I give to the poor. It's not, oh, I'm a good person. All those things are good, but those things are not what is. They won't cut it when it gets to, when we come to the last day. The only criterion that will cut it is belief in Jesus Christ, in the fact that Jesus died for our sins or for your sin or for the sin of the individual, and that individual personally accepts that payment personally on their behalf, that Jesus, you died for my sins. I accept that you have done that for me as an individual, not as a group. Do you understand? So that is the only criteria that we need. The sixth thing I'm going to be talking about tonight is this. The main reason why Jesus came into the world, this is the Christmas season. Well, the main reason that Jesus came to the world as a human being, as a baby initially, was to save us from our sins, to provide a way for salvation. Jesus didn't just come so that we can have nice Christmas presents and these nice lights we see all over. Though all those things are great, but we need to put it in perspective that Jesus came primarily for every single individual. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, but after he had considered these things, that was Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So we see here in Matthew chapter 1, 20, 21, that the angel appeared and he gave in a very short sentence the main cry, the main thing that Jesus came to the world to do, which is to save us from our sins, so that on the last day when judgment comes, and they're saying to the left and to the right, everyone will have the opportunity to, you know, go the right way, which is, you know, into eternity with Christ. So we see that God sent Jesus, and the primary reason was just so that we would have a means of entering heaven, a means of not facing this, paying for our sins, a means to spend eternity in heaven with God. So that's the sixth thing. So the last point I want to make tonight, just summarizing this parable, is this. This parable says that the fishermen went out, they got fish, they separated them. Jesus now goes on to say that on the last day, this is what it's going to be like, where people who in this instance described as bad will go to eternal hell. In the context of bad, as it relates to the scripture, it's talking about people who have not accepted Christ. So the last thing I want to mention, which is the seventh point, is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. God says something there. He says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we see here that the Bible tells us that God explicitly wants all people to be saved. I know that there's some people, well-meaning Christians, who believe that, oh, God has predetermined that there's some people that will be saved and there's some people that will not be saved. That doesn't really make sense. Then if God is the one that predetermined it, then why is there a judgment? But that aside, looking at the simple English in this verse, he says he wants all people. And as far as I know from the English language, all means all. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say some who are predestined. So we need to realize that God really wants everybody to be saved, but we know that not everybody is saved. So what does that do for us? Or where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with the fact that we should always have the perspective while we're enjoying Christmas and all that, that God has called us to be fishermen. He has called us to go out and to preach the gospel. God loves every single individual on the earth, the ones that are, you know, behaving properly and the ones that are behaving badly. He loves every single one of us, irrespective. He doesn't discriminate. And I believe he wants us to have the same heart as well. So I'm just going to leave this with us, having gone through these 7 points, that, you know, as we go through Christmas, and not just, you know, as we go through Christmas, we should always remind ourselves that, hang on, God loves every single one, and every opportunity that God brings our way to share the gospel with someone, to tell them that, you know, Jesus loves them and that he has paid for their sin. We ask that God will give us the courage to, you know, speak, you know, the word of truth to everyone that we come across, in Jesus' name. I'm going to end there tonight, and we're just going to pray.